New Testament reading comes from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 3 through 13. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. This is the word of our Lord. Today is a day of celebration. We celebrate the birth of the church. It's a day to acknowledge and celebrate the outpouring of God's Spirit in our lives and in our hearts. It is a day to take time to pause and thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit, which activates within us all these special skills and talents that we are intended to share with the world. So on this day of Pentecost, we ask ourselves these questions. Am I using and sharing the gifts and the special talents that I possess and working towards a greater good? And when is the church a joy to God and a blessing to the world? Since my close circle of friends now consists of 80% of clergy, I oftentimes hear stories about when the church maybe isn't such a joy or a blessing to the world. I hear stories about the divisions that occur in the churches and the arguments that arise and that separate church members and they split the church. The most recent church division that I heard was regarding flowers. A friend of mine had been called to a church, and for his installation service, the wrong flower arrangement arrived. And this sent a few of the church members into an uproar. But what really sent them over the edge was when the wrong flower arrangement arrived for the Christmas Eve service, and it arrived a little bit later than expected. Now, it was still there for the service. It was just later than they had anticipated. Those two incidents regarding the flowers caused several people to leave that church. Some churches have split over other minuscule things, like the color of the carpet in the sanctuary, the spelling of the word hallelujah, when we will take up the offering in the worship service, before the sermon or after the sermon. Another church almost split over a piano bench, and this one was resolved by adding an additional worship service on Sunday mornings. One service where they would have the piano bench in for the service, and then the other one as they would drag it out. And I'm not kidding. These things have occurred, and they make you scratch your head and wonder how they are occurring, especially in a church. In fact, a close friend of mine is a retired minister, and she is now writing a book, which is a series of short stories about all the church splits that she witnessed during her ministry and all the times that church members split hairs over seemingly minuscule things. Now, we may get a good chuckle out of these stories, but the sad fact is that they are true and that this represents a lot of churches. Now, we are not the first generation of Christians who grumble and complain. Chapter 11 in the book of Numbers is a narrative all about complaining and grumbling, both on the part of the people and on the part of Moses. No sooner were the Israelites organized and trained for their march to take over, to enter the promised land, when Moses and the people came to a halt so that they could complain. The Israelites complained about their hardships and the quality of the food, and Moses complained about the burden of leadership. And this same sort of grumbling and complaining continued on into New Testament times. In our passage from 1 Corinthians, Paul was addressing the quarreling followers of Jesus in Corinth. Paul had established this church community just several years prior, and they were arguing over the leadership of that church. The church of Corinth was fairly small, but they were at each other's throats. They debated political factions. They were debating sexual ethics. They were arguing over who would receive the Lord's Supper and who wouldn't receive the Lord's Supper. They were suing one another, and a lot of the church members thought that they were more spiritual than some of the other church members. When we review the historical background of these texts, when we really investigate what was going on in the church and what was occurring with God's people in the church at the time that these texts were written, then we can clearly see that not much has changed over the years. In Old Testament times, there were rifts occurring as the Israelites grumbled and complained their way along their march to the Promised Land. In New Testament days, within the church of Corinth, there were many different factions that were causing that church to split. And in our present day and age, the church continues to split over minor issues, like the color of the carpet or the spelling of the word hallelujah. Now, most of these rifts and divisions occur because we are all humans, and the church is comprised of humans. We all have differences of opinion, perceptions, and interpretation over minor issues, all of which makes us human. We all have certain preferences and ways that we want to see things done. We all have certain quirks and idiosyncrasies that make us unique in how we interact with each other and how we relate to the world. But no matter our differences of opinions and no matter our unique quirks that we possess and our idiosyncrasies, we are all still members of one body. We are all baptized into one body and united together through Christ. And on this day in particular, we celebrate that unity and the fact that we are linked together by the gift of the Holy Spirit. We celebrate the fact that we have this gift of the Holy Spirit and that we have certain skills and talents that have been activated within us. Paul's address to the church of Corinth reminds the Corinthians as well as us about that fact. His letter is an appeal to all Christians to remember their oneness in God, to celebrate these wonderful skills and talents they possess, and to recognize that the gift of the Holy Spirit has activated these special skills within us in order that we share them. They're activated within us in order that we unite together and collaborate together to be a unified body working towards a common good. Not to let our humanness, our grumbling, and our complaining divide that body. Which means that we gravitate away from those things that threaten to divide us and separate us at times. Paul's list of gifts in 1 Corinthians is extensive, but it is not exhaustive. Every disciple of Christ has the gift of the Holy Spirit and has been given special skills and talents. These talents are not just for use within the Christian community, but they are to be taken out into the world, beyond the walls of the church, and used to bless people wherever we may go. All of these special skills and talents that we possess are not only to build up the body of all believers, but that so we can be the body of Christ out in the world. Which means that we use our special skills and our talents to bring joy to other people's lives, to offer encouragement and support, to extend love and hope to all those that we interact with. Paul's letter to the Corinthians is written in such a way for all Christians to begin viewing these abilities, these special skills and talents, as a means through which God's grace and mercy is felt and experienced by others. It's a way for God's grace and mercy to be felt by the whole community. When we start allowing these special skills and talents to unite us, and when we start exercising these certain gifts, that is when they become vehicles for God's love, grace, and mercy to be felt by all people. And it's at that point that they truly do become gifts of the Spirit. So on this day of Pentecost, we ask ourselves these imperative questions. Are we using our special skills and our talents and sharing them with other people and working towards a common good? And when is the church a joy to God and a blessing to the world? May we all employ our gifts and our talents in a way that is pleasing to God and a blessing to this world. May we all choose to share our special gifts and talents so that we are united together, collaborating together, in extending the blessings to those in this church, in this community, and in this world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.